The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
My next guest is speaking in UCC later this evening. He's an historian, a political analyst, prolific author, and he says that he was essentially forced to leave Israel because of his views on the country. Ilan Pappe is, as I say, going to be speaking a little later in UCC, but he's speaking to us now. Ilan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to be on your show. Thank you.
You talked about, I quoted your sort of your sense that you were pushed out, squeezed out, forced out of Israel. Can you explain how that came to pass?
Yes. Well, I was not forced out of the country. I want to make it clear. I was forced out of my university. I was expelled from a university and I could not find any job in Israeli academia back then in 2007. And the reason was my publications, my lectures, my ideological, moral, and professional positions that challenged very fundamentally the Israeli Zionist narrative, especially about 1948, but also about Israel's history and contemporary realities. And therefore, the university and the academic institution in Israel felt that they could not tolerate my presence there anymore.
What were the primary challenges that you were making?
Well, I framed, I think I was the first one to frame the Israeli actions in 1948 as ethnic cleansing, which is a crime against humanity. I like others, I was not alone. I framed the state of Israel as an apartheid state, the Zionist project as a settler colonial project. And unfortunately, I was right in predicting that this would not be the end, given the drive to eliminate the Palestinians as part of the wish to create a pure Jewish state from the river to the sea, something I already wrote about in 2007-2008, and is unfolding in front of our eyes, unfortunately, in the last 20 months.
Do you see those views or those positions as being intrinsically anti-Semitic?
Well, I'm a Jew, so there must have been self-hating Jew. But I know the allegation. I know that anyone, Israel and its allies, weaponize anti-Semitism in order to silence justified and valid moral judgments and criticism or both on its policies and on the ideology that informed these policies. They are not anti-Semitic. These are positions of people who are already shown that in other cases, they opposed oppression, they opposed colonialism, they opposed apartheid, whether it was in South Africa or in southern United States, whether they opposed colonialism in Africa and Southeast Asia or imperialism later on in the 20th century. These are the same moral base. This is the same moral basis that fed protests and criticism on anyone who subscribes to ideology that allows massive expulsion of people, their oppression, their ethnic cleansing, the genocide, or their institutional discrimination. So in that case, these positions and anybody else who subscribe to these positions are very noble position to my mind and are part of our moral obligation, in my case as an academic, and other cases as just citizens of the world, not to be indifferent and silent when other people are victims of crimes against humanity, war crimes, and oppressive regimes.
And you don't think that some of the criticism comes down to a core argument of the fundamental right of an Israeli state to exist, of the Jews to have a homeland, that you don't think that motivates some of the criticism levied at Israel as sovereign entity, that the two are so intertwined that it's sometimes difficult to unpick?
Well, I cannot vouch for everyone who criticizes Israel that they're not anti-Semites, but I can definitely say with great confidence that the vast majority of people who are either walking in demonstrations, writing articles, petitioning their governments to do more in order to save the Palestinians from the Israeli project of eliminating the Palestinians. The vast majority of these people, and not surprisingly, quite a lot of them are Jews, are doing this because this is their moral stance against any case in the world or in the past where people were victims of such oppression. So I don't think that this has to do anything with the right of Israel to exist or the right of the Jews to have a state. The right to have a state or the right of a state to exist does not include the right to colonize, to dispossess, to ethnic cleansing, and to genocide. So we are not, this is not a theoretical question whether states have the right to exist or not. This is not the debate. The debate is, what is our attitude as governments and society towards a state that for more than 77 years oppresses the indigenous people of Palestine, already expelling half of them and now genociding hundreds of thousands of them in the Gaza Strip? That is the question. It's a moral challenge to us as citizens, as politicians, as journalists. And it's very, very sad to see that so many in Europe and in the EU in particular are not raising to the challenge. The incomprehensible indifference of governments and of the media in Europe towards a genocide that is daily televised and appears on our screens is really a disgrace and has a lot to do probably with the fear that condemning the Israeli genocide would be would lead people to be framed as anti-Semitic.
Well, can I ask on that note, Ilan? Can I get you to turn your focus then to the Irish specifically? Because exactly that dynamic has occurred here a lot. The Israeli ambassador has accused both Irish media and the Irish state of being intrinsically anti-Semite. I mean, obviously, there is a great degree of support for Palestine and a great degree of horror for the humanitarian impact of the Israeli military action in Gaza within Ireland. But that is seen as being a level beyond by the ambassador. And this morning on our own breakfast program here in News Talk Breakfast, Alan Dershowitz, the American legal defense legend, longtime Harvard professor, he was talking to the host, Kira Kelly. And this is what he had to say about Ireland.
I have a great many friends in America who are Irish Americans, and I love them and they love me. And they are the most supportive people of the Jewish community and of Israel. Why is it that Ireland itself as a country has become the most anti-Zionist, the most anti-Israel, the most anti-Semitic country in all of Europe, exporting singers like the one that was just exported, who was yelling and screaming death, death to the IDF? What is it about Ireland which makes it different than every other country in Europe in terms of the rampant anti-Semitism?
Is that something that you have seen, rampant anti-Semitism in Ireland?
No, and I think that the answer to Mr. Dershowitz is that what differentiates the most of the people in Ireland from Mr. Dershowitz is that they know how to distinguish between what is Judaism, what is Zionism, and what is Israeli policies. These are not all the same things. Judaism is a faith, is a monotheistic faith. And I didn't meet a lot of people in Ireland who hate the Jews because they belong to the Jewish religion. Zionism is an ideology that informs the genocide in Gaza that we've seen now, and informs the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians in the West Bank and the oppression of the Palestinians inside Israel. So people oppose Zionism because it's an ideology that breeds or bred these kinds of policy. And Israel is a state that is not only oppressing the Palestinians, it's also acting very aggressively towards its neighbors and the Arab world as a whole. So these are actually Irish reactions that show knowledge, complexity, and understanding that, unfortunately, Mr. Dershowitz either doesn't possess these kinds of qualities or he possesses these qualities, which is even worse, and he decides just to be an ambassador for Israel without any self-criticism or realization that he's on the wrong side of history.
Now, Ilan, can I ask you, you've made these very swinging criticisms of Israel repeatedly. The suggestion that it has been over decades engaged in ethnic cleansing, and the suggestion that it is currently engaged in and has been engaged in genocide. You described your background as an academic. That means that you are rubbing along with theoretically the most educated people in Israeli society. I assume you raised your views with them. What response do you get when you say this to fellow Israelis?
Well, there are two kinds of response. There are those who refuse to see the facts for what they are and still find a way of dealing with this dissonance between what they know is happening and the loyalty to the ideology. And I would say, unfortunately, that they fabricate the reality in their work. The other group, which is far more disturbing in a way, would say to me in a very dark rooms or in closets that they agree with me, but they feel that this is something that would undermine Israel in the future, and therefore they refuse to take part in exposing these criminal policies in the past and in the present. So I think we have here an academia that is either self-censoring itself or is afraid or is totally loyal to the ideology. There are some critical voices. I was not alone in Israel, and I'm not alone nowadays. But I think, unfortunately, most of the critical Israeli voices within the Israeli academia have left, and you can find them thriving around the world in different campuses and universities. But they still exist, and they are an important voice, because one day people would remember that not all the Israeli Jews subscribed to the policies of their government and state, which would be a basis for a hopeful coexistence and reconciliation in the future.
Ilan, I'm conscious you need to get prepped for your talk this evening. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. That is Ilan Pappe, historian, political analyst and author, and he's going to be speaking in University College Cork later on this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.